You know how we can't stand by and let our children murder each other. And I don't care what skin color is or isn't. You know, to me, that's not the issue. We've got to pray for our community. We need to pray for our nation, because anything that would seek to affect division is not of God. Amen. In terms of division among people and based on hatred. Amen. I want to ask you to be praying for our community. I want us as believers to take a stand in spirit and exercise our authority over this murderous spirit that's been at work. You know, nobody, in my estimation, is expendable. Jesus died for the entire world. And it doesn't matter, you know. Listen, that, boy, there's so much I want to say. Would you turn with me to turn over, if you would, to, let's look in the book of Acts just a moment. Let me, I'll get the reference to you here. By the way, let me ask you this. Does anybody know the name of the young man I was referring to in our neighborhood? Why don't we? I don't either. I mean, I'm as guilty. Why don't we? To me, that's an indication of how commonplace murders become, how tragic it is. And it shouldn't be acceptable in a single instance, much less in the degree that it's taken place. Amen. Over here in Acts, if you'll look with me, Acts chapter 7. Well, let me just refer to this. In the latter part of Acts chapter 7, of course, is the account of Stephen being stoned to death. And in the first several verses of Acts chapter 8, we're told in verse 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And Stephen was, of course, buried. Amen. How many of you suppose back then that there were probably a lot of folks in the church thought that that Saul was pretty expendable? I mean, they'd have probably rejoiced if they'd have seen him crucified, wouldn't they? But then what would we have done for the other two-thirds of our New Testament? Why do you suppose so many of these young people are being murdered? I mean, they might act like Saul right now, but who's to say they couldn't potentially be a Paul? Do you suppose the devil's seeing something we don't? I sure do. I know Mark working down at the jail, they see so many kids that are not, they're barely in their teenage years, and they're in there for life, because they're not going to be in Duval for life. They'll ultimately be in prison for life. Some of them, maybe they've not committed that major of a crime yet, but they're locked into that cycle of crime, and they no sooner get out than they're back in. And it's never for a lesser crime. It's always something worse. Why do you suppose the devil has got such an avid, vicious campaign going for our young people? I just got to think. He sees something that we may not yet see, and we need to pray. We need to stand, and we need to reach out. And we need to take stock in how we as believers are called of God to conduct ourselves in society. I'm sure that depending on who you talk to, this situation, there are viewpoints on either side. I'm just saying that it's not acceptable. And I don't know about you. I know just myself as a father, there have been times I've been out. Let me just share this very quickly. There have been times I've been out with my family. We happen to go to a particular restaurant that we like, and it's kind of a family-oriented restaurant. And Robin and I were out when Victoria was kind of young, one time with her alone. And there was a group seated next to us, and not that race matters, they happened to be white boys. And they had the foulest mouths I've ever heard. And I got to admit, I spoke to him that day. I asked him, I said, please, could you watch what you're... I said, I've got a child over here. I said, this is my baby over here. I don't want her learning these words. And they were kind. They tried to bottle it, but they'd been drinking enough loudmouth that it didn't last long, and they're back at it again. And I figure, well, you know, we're in the world, and that's just evidence of it. And you know, I didn't push it beyond that. And I know that there are times that you know, we feel inclined to want to speak out, but I believe we need to pray. And listen, I cannot wait to get into the teaching I've got to share with you. We don't have time to even really start it today, but we're going to talk a little bit further about the love of God, and I believe it can absolutely revolutionize your life by the empowerment it will bring to your life. And to me, we in the church need to wise up. We need to see and seize the opportunities that are so obvious before us. Can I share something? This is from the teaching, and you'll probably hear it again, so if you do, just play dumb, okay? Can you finish the lyrics to the song, Ain't No Mountain? Why do you know that? Why do you know that? Yeah, but you had to choose to listen to it. It's not just that you heard it. How many of you even know who sang it? The best version. Marvin Gaye. Amen. I love that old song. There's so many other songs. You know, even I didn't really particularly care for the group Queen, but they even had a song. And their song was one that, well, let me see if I can find some lyrics to it. I know I've got them in here. And let me share these with you. See if you can tell me what the name of this song is. Can anybody find me somebody to love? Each morning I get up, I die a little, can barely stand on my feet, take a look in the mirror and cry, Lord, what you're doing to me? I've spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't get no relief. Lord, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love? The title of the song is pretty obvious, isn't it? How many of you are old enough, or will at least admit to being old enough, to remember this song? Can anybody find me somebody to love? No, that's the wrong one. I'm reading it again. I'm sorry. Let me read the other one. It says, when the truth is found to be lies and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? These are all, who said that? Huh? No. Way back beyond them. You might know them as Jefferson Starship. It was Jefferson Airplane. That was them reinvented Starship. Why is it that we can remember these songs, at least I claim to, and they're secular songs. We're not going to, you know, these aren't going to be introduced into our worship list. But why is it? This world is so starved for love. Now, their version of it, my version of it, may not be the same. Of course, Jefferson Airplane, that was back in the era of Woodstock, and it was in the context of free love. Well, their idea of free love was just sexual promiscuity. It had nothing to do with love. It was just pure out lust. And yet, to me, they were expressing the longing of every man's heart. That's why we remember Marvin Gaye's words. We remember him singing, Ain't No Mountain, because it's about love. And there's something about the subject of love coming up that is so near and dear to our hearts that to me it provokes a receptivity beyond a lot of other music and a lot of other subjects. And it's just something that we long for and we identify with so readily. How many of you have ever felt like there wasn't a mountain high enough, there wasn't a valley deep enough, there wasn't a river wide enough to keep you from... Why were we certain? Because we wanted them to love us just like that. They may not ever, but I know somebody that will. And you know somebody that will. And so we're going to be talking about that. And to me, in the church, we need to wise up into this situation. To me, do you know, if I put myself in Michael Dunn's shoes, do you know what I've decided? I've decided when I hear somebody playing, how many of you have heard some really raunchy music? I've decided if I hear, well, let me share something with you that happened to me. I'm driving down Dunn Avenue here a while back, and I look over, and mind you, I had my windows up. I had my music on. Let me say this as well. I've had my windows up. I've had my music on, and I've also found my music just blown away by the music in the car next to me because it was so much louder than mine. And I was going down Dunn Avenue one day, and I looked over, and I saw this old classic truck. It was it looked like a 70s-era truck. And it had a rather dull paint job, but somehow the scheme of it, the wheels they had on it, just, it was very attractive. It was a nice-looking truck. It's a guy thing, ladies, just, it was just a nice-looking truck. And it happened to be a young black man that was driving it. And I looked at him and I nodded and I started rolling my window down. And when I rolled my window down, I could hear his music. And you know, it was funny because when I looked at him at first, he kind of scowled at me. I bet he thought, that old guy's just going to complain about my music. No telling how many times he heard that. And I said, nice truck. And it was so funny because he lit up. It is obvious that he appreciated the validation and the acknowledgement of the labor he put into making his truck look good. It worked. And he didn't care then that I was old or white or anything. I could have been purple. He just was thrilled that somebody acknowledged and validated him. And to me, there are a lot of people that are acting out in public because they are longing for and they are looking for somebody not so much to love, but that will love them. And there are times that they are in there acting out, just demonstrating the void that is in their heart. Why would you subject yourself to some of the stuff that people subject themselves to? Why did I subject myself? Why did you subject yourself to some of the things that we all subjected ourselves to? It's because there was such a void within us that whether we willingly admitted it or not, and acknowledged it and sought to find a fulfillment. We were driven. And to me, would you look with me very quickly to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. And listen, I believe as parents, we need to teach our children that there are crazy people in this desperate world. And there are people that would just as soon shoot you as look at you. I know that in my own life, there were times that I've had guns to my head, probably by invitation, truth be known. There were other times, I can remember one time, I just looked at some guy and I just acknowledged, I think I might have nodded hello to him. And before I knew it, this guy, as he was walking behind me to leave the building we were in, put a knife to my throat. There's some people you just look at wrong, and they just as soon kill you as look at you. And that's just, unfortunately, the world that we live in. And so, looking at James, if you would, with me, I want you to notice something. I've always tended to look at this verse in one context, and I'll share that with you in just a moment, but I want to read it first. Verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Well, their music just offended me, or their vulgar language was so offensive. Those are the times you need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why might they be using those things or resorting to that? Jeez, to me that's kind of like a billboard saying, "I'm empty. Have you got anything to feed me?" You know, at the very least, even if you don't have the boldness yet to walk up and witness to them, or just to walk by and say, "Hey, has anybody told you Jesus loves you?" If you don't, you can at least pray for people. And I've always looked at that verse in this context, that we shouldn't be quick to vent our wrath on others, right? I'm not sure that's really the focus of that verse, though. Do you know what I... Let's broaden it. We'll take that, but let's broaden this a little bit, and let's look at it in the context of be careful lest you provoke another to wrath. You know, fathers are admonished in Scripture as to how to relate, not to provoke their sons in an ungodly way, or daughters either, for that matter. And for that matter, look back, if you would, very quickly to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. You won't have to go too far over here. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." That's good news, isn't it? But grievous words stir up anger. I think in this situation, would to God somebody on either side of this issue had exercised a little bit better awareness and sensitivity. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart every time I see those parents. That kid, I don't know what he did or didn't do. I just think it's tragic that he's dead and we'll never know. I don't know if what he was accused of was true or not. I just know it's a waste. And it's tragic. And I just believe as believers, as the church, it's time for us to rise up and to pray for our community and to look for ways to share the love of God effectively and practically and begin to recognize the signs of desperation among those in the world that surround us and respond in love rather than with judgment, rather than with wrath, rather than with righteous indignation. That's sometimes what we in the church call anger. Amen. Let's start praying for folks. Let's tell the devil this is not acceptable. I don't care if the kids are black, white, polka dot, pink, or I don't care. It's not acceptable. They're our kids. They're not his. And I believe that in so many of these cases that God has plans for these young people. I don't believe there's a person that's ever been conceived but what God had a plan formulated for them. And it's time for us as believers to say, no more devil. Amen. I'm going to just close with prayer. Would you stand with me? I know you've been sitting for a while. And let's just simply go before the Lord. And Father, we first of all repent that we've not been more aggressive with our authority or in prayer for our community. We ask your forgiveness and we receive it as well. And Father, we ask you to help us by the Holy Spirit to be sensitive to and aware, Father, of the needs that exist around us that are so prevalent. And Father, help us to see and to seize these opportunities. When people are acting out or demonstrating some void in their life, Father God, that would demonstrate a hunger for you, whether they've identified it or not, let us, at least within the church, be smart enough to do so. And Lord, help us to seize that as an opportunity to, if nothing else, to tell them that there's a God who loved them so much that he sent his son to die for them. And Father, help us to be sensitive to pray as well for these situations and these individuals, Lord, I don't care if they're children or adults. Help us to pray for them effectively by your Spirit. And Father, we also just pray for others. You've not given us as believers. It just amazes me how many believers, because of the situation and the circumstances within society today, how many believers find themselves ruled by fear. Lord, help us to walk in your love. Your word tells us that as we do, as your love is perfected in us, perfect love casteth out fear. Lord, help us to not be intimidated. Help us to know that you're our refuge, you're our shield, our fortress, you're our deliverer, Lord God, and we can depend on you. And Father, we just pray, last but not least, for the parents of all these children not just Jordan Davis, but all these children that have died so senselessly within our community. Father, we just declare in the authority of Jesus' name, devil, we're putting you on notice. Yes. This is not acceptable to us. Yes. And we are just going to resort to the resources of the greater one who lives within us to thwart your plans for their destruction. Yes. We pray for the parents of those that have been affected by this, Father God, that you would afford them comfort and help them to see, Father God, beyond the grief of their situation, to recognize there's a God who loves them, even if they know you, Father. Help them to experience your mercy, your love, and the comfort that you alone can provide. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.